British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has delivered the UK's final proposal for a Brexit deal to the EU. It includes plans to replace the Irish backstop. Now, you remember, we've spoken about the Irish backstop. It's been a major sticking point in getting a deal through the UK Parliament. With the details on the new proposal, David Hunter, news editor at Q Radio in Belfast, Northern Ireland. This proposal would create two borders for 4 years, David.
Yeah, so in some ways, Keith, but it's very complex in these plans. Basically, it would see Northern Ireland remain part of the EU single market for goods for about 4 years, but essentially we'd leave the customs union. That would probably mean that some checks, although they're told they'll be done away from the border, there will be no border infrastructure on the island of Ireland. So, for example, things will be checked over at warehouses, there'll be trusted trader schemes. We've heard about those before as well. And technology, but again, there's a bit of a question mark over that one because we're about 4 weeks away from when we're due to leave and we don't know what that technology actually yet looks like. Then there would be a regulatory sea border, so that would be between the rest of the UK and Northern Ireland, and a bit of a customs border as well. Now, it's kind of a change in tune in some ways, but it does create a very complex set of circumstances here as well.
Yeah, it does sound complicated until the details have been ironed out. Now, the British government's Northern Irish allies, the DUP, Democratic Unionist Party, they've welcomed the plan. This is Arlene Foster.
What it does is allows us to leave the European Union Customs Union. It allows us to leave the single market, and then we opt in if we're not in the position to put in place alternative arrangements at that time. So therefore, we consent to whatever is coming forward.
That's the DUP leader, Arlene Foster. She's changed her tune, David.
Yeah, she seems to have softened a bit, because before now, any difference between Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK would have been a red line for her party. Remember, Arlene Foster and the DUP, they are hardline unionists, so they want Northern Ireland and all of the UK to be treated exactly the same. Now they're willing to accept some changes, and this bit is crucial. It has to be signed off by Stormont, our devolved government, which just deals with issues in Northern Ireland, not set beside by Westminster. But that government hasn't sat in 1,000 days. So Northern Ireland is a deeply politically diverse place. We already have our problems. So we've had a very troubled history. Now we're being divisive over things like Brexit. And that government hasn't sat in 1,000 days. And yet, in Boris's latest plan, he's saying they have to sign off on these changes. And not just that, but they'll have to do it every 4 years. So this isn't just a one-off issue that will be deeply divisive and then will go away. This is every single four-year term. The parties here are going to have to agree on this. And crucially as well, it has to gain cross-party support. So it's not just a majority wins. It has to be the nationalist and the unionist representation in Northern Ireland has to back these plans. And they have to back them every 4 years. So it's creating a lot of uncertainty. For example, business groups are saying they can't even make a five-year plan because every 4 years, things could change. From that point of view, it makes things in Northern Ireland very, very difficult. I don't see the EU buying it.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that this is the starting point. And as the leading Brexiteer, Sir Bernard Jenkin, said just a couple of days ago, he's a member, by the way, of the hardline European Research Group. He told the BBC that there was a readiness to back the deal.
There is a mood for compromise. People want to get this done. I would say there's very strong grounds for optimism. The question is whether the EU is going to be prepared to compromise, because if they won't compromise, then we will leave anyway on the 31st of October. I've no doubt about that.
So that goes back to the British government's, what I see as a negotiating position. We will leave, come what may, deal or no deal, on October 31st, David.
I mean, that's all very well and good for them to say that. But remember, the British Parliament itself voted that no deal is not an option, and that, you know, Boris Johnson has to go back to the EU and request an extension. Now, he's saying he doesn't want to do that, but by law, that's what the law says. Now, you have to remember as well that next week, Boris Johnson is going to prorogue Parliament again. So he's going to suspend Parliament to outline a Queen's speech. And as I say, we're less than 4 weeks from the 31st of October, the Brexit date, and nobody really seems to know what's going on. I've seen birthdays planned better than this at this point. And I mean, Boris Johnson, he's saying all these things. It's a lot of rhetoric and a lot of bravado to try and say, we're getting a deal and we're going to do it. But how's he going to do it? That's the question that he's been unable to answer so far. This paper, he's trying to outline it. But to be honest, the mood vibes here in Northern Ireland, I suppose in the Republic and across the EU, is that Boris Johnson has put forward a plan that he knows isn't going to be accepted.
Mm-hmm. David, thank you very much for your time there with the details on the proposed deal.
OK, no problem.
David Hunter, news editor at Q Radio in Northern Ireland, speaking to me from Belfast. We go to Austria in just a moment. I'm Keith Walker in Bonn. You're listening to Inside Europe.